Despite some well-publicized criticism of Army procurement over the past decade, the service's top acquisition official, Heidi Hsu, says the intense tempo of war has led to huge achievements in rapidly deploying equipment and technology to the battlefield. Everything from mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles to state-of-the-art digital communication systems that replaced analog ones. But she argues just because the wars are winding down doesn't mean it's time to step back from acquisition.
We're facing fiscally constrained budgets as we undertake this transition. However, there can be no procurement holiday, because unlike the 1990s, the threats we have faced have not receded. Matter of fact, they have grown more sophisticated. Added this to our reliance on healthy industrial base for critical scientific, engineering, and manufacturing skills that's essential to our modernization efforts. We recognize that maintaining the Army's leading edge in the future depends upon this healthy industrial base.
Hsu says as the Army transitions out of a wartime environment, it's also transitioning to a new acquisition planning process. Rather than looking at the next 5 years involved in the typical Pentagon budget planning process, the Army is looking at the next 30 years. The process, which the Army has dubbed Strategic Modernization Planning, aims to do a better job of integrating the Army's procedures for buying major systems with how it prioritizes science and technology investments and how it trains its soldiers. Lieutenant General Keith Walker, the director of the Army Capabilities Integration Center, refers to that 30-year time horizon as the deep future. He says it's something the Army hasn't looked at in quite a while.
And honestly, with good reason. Our warfight and our focus has been very short in terms of Iraq and Afghanistan. But some of the consequences of that, when you look at capabilities required to prosecute that concept, it's a pretty short-term time horizon. So when the department has to plan and prepare a science and technology program, we're not properly informing that effort because we're so short. So we will step back and make a very deliberate effort to gather very bright people from industry, academia, and within our own research and development communities along with operators to get an understanding of what may physically be possible in the year 2030 or so, because honestly, I don't know. But once I understand what's physically possible from the threat and what our country can do, then we can talk about some concepts that are out there, and then we can better inform our science and technology effort.
Hsu says the 30-year modernization plan will be tied tightly to DOD's broader strategic guidance, which plans for a shift in focus to the Asia-Pacific region, more engagement by small army units with nations who are trying to build their own military capabilities, and less emphasis on large-scale stability operations like Iraq and Afghanistan. She says the National Military Strategy is informing the way the Army's requirements community decides precisely what the service will need for the future.
Using this guidance, the Army requirements community is assessing present and emerging threats to identify the capability gaps and equipping priorities across near, mid, and far term. Our PEOs are working to lay out our current and planned capabilities across a 30-year horizon, spanning from concept development to technology development to EMD to production to sustainment.
30 years is a long time, but the Army's already outlining several priorities for the future. The Army's chief of staff has already put modernization of the network at the top of the list, but Hsu says there are several other clear priorities, like finding technologies that can lighten the crushing loads individual soldiers carry on their backs, protecting them from injury, coming up with countermeasures to chemical and biological weapons, and making sure the U.S. still has offensive weapons that overmatch any potential adversary. Across all those pursuits, Lieutenant General James Barkley, the Army's top uniformed official in charge of planning financial resources, says the Army's committed to buying new capabilities at the best cost it can find, trading off technical requirements along the way, if necessary, to make programs affordable.
We're also structuring programs to take care of American technology, competition, and commercial options, and part of that is in incremental buys and allowing us to buy those enhancements over time. These are just some of the things that we're looking at as we move forward to give us that capability. We're also looking for solutions that are scalable, both in production and capability, and can fit across multiple platforms. So wherever we can find those solution sets that fit across multiple platforms and give us those advantages, that's where we want to go in the future. And at the same time, as we move forward, we got to be able to have a fork in the road, because as I said, we're not very good at calling the future. We've got to make changes at times. So we've got to be able to have that flexibility to make those changes.
And as the Army plans its future investments, Walker, the service's capabilities chief, says it needs to make sure it retains the ability to spend money on systems that do more than just counter known threats.
Yes, the threat is extremely important, but we've got to make sure we look beyond the threat. We have to recognize strengths, we have to look for weaknesses, we have to look for opportunities, and yes, we have to look for threat. For example, because of threats, we came up with some tremendous adaptive counter IED solutions, unmanned air systems, the XM-25, but you know, we also developed a network because we had opportunity. We started working at operational energy because that's a weakness we have and accounts for a huge logistics tail. And in terms of opportunities, the entire night vision capability we have is because an opportunity presented themselves and some really bright folks, operators and acquisition folks, took advantage of those opportunities.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.